أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaytan, who has been disqualified from God's kingdom of special mercy. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We humbly turn to God and we ask for special guidance because we believe He is the All-Perfect One, the source of all goodness. He is the All-Merciful One. By His continuous mercy, we come to life, stay alive, and develop towards our goal of perfection. And He is Rahim. His extra love and mercy is abundantly available eternally for those who are good doers and believers. Alhamdulillah. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And we send our salutations and greetings to the Holy Prophet and to his progeny, who are the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. In our discussion on Dua Kumail, we said that one way to benefit in depth from the meaning of what we recite in this Dua is to mentally tune ourselves and to remind ourselves that this Dua is not an ordinary Dua for several reasons. Reason number one is that the companion who requests for the dua to be taught to him is not an ordinary companion. Kumail bin Ziyad from the tribe of Nakhai in Yemen was one of the elite companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And his past history shows that in his faith he was strong, politically he had insight, he could recognize the right leader. He was swift also in support whenever necessary. He fought in the battles in support of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And spiritually also he was endowed to the point that he seeks audience in the privacy of the night. Imam grants him and he requests for this dua of Khidr. Secondly, you notice that the label and the name of this dua is the dua of Khidr. Khidr was not an ordinary personality. One of the major prophets, Ulul Azm, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, is instructed to go and seek guidance from Khidr. And thirdly, when Imam alayhi salam does guide Kumail to note this dua down, he mentions some characteristics of the dua, that whosoever recites this dua even once in a lifetime, preferably once every year, more so once every month, more so once every week, then it has the potential to change this person's life. All his sins can be pardoned and forgiven. He shall be protected from bala, and of course he shall receive special grace and provision. Keeping these points in mind, therefore, we recognize that this dua is not an ordinary dua. Next slide, please. In order to appreciate the general flow and the main themes covered in the dua, one way is to break it down into different sections. So section number one, Imam alayhi salam begins to address God in 10 different names. And in summary, what those names are saying is that, O Lord, you have knowledge over everything, you know my problems. O Lord, you are all powerful. وَبِقُوَّتِكَ وَبِعَظَمَتِكَ وَبِجَبَرُوتِكَ You have the power to solve all problems. Three, you know, you can, but will you? Oh yes, you are Rahim. بِرَحْمَتِكَ الَّتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Definitely you are kind enough and compassionate enough to solve my problem. So I've come to you. But before I can reach you and before your grace can touch me and change me, I need to remove from between me and you. You're close to everyone, but we are distant from you. I need to remove all those factors that are keeping me away from you. And those are the sins. And then Imam alayhi salam mentions different categories of sins. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tahtiku al-'isam, tughayyiru an-ni'am, tunzilu an-niqam, tahbisu ad-du'a we've covered these four groups. We now come to the fifth group of the sins. Next slide, please. Next. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tunzilu al-bala. O Lord, I ask you to forgive me those sins of mine which are keeping me away from you. Essentially, sin, an act of sin, an outward behavior which is an act of disobedience, means internally and mentally I know that this is wrong. If I don't know, then Allah forgives me. If I know but I've forgotten, Allah forgives me. If I know and I've not forgotten but I have a genuine excuse for committing that sin, I'm starving to death. If I don't eat haram or drink haram, I will die. As an exception, I'm allowed to do that. If I know and haven't forgotten, if I know and remember and don't have an excuse, internally I've decided, I think this is better for me than what you're telling me. This act of disobedience and defiance is the core reason for rebelliousness. So I need to remove this attitude within before I can get close to Him. And sins definitely have been prohibited because they have some harmful consequences, and the different types of consequences, one of them is bala. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tunzilu al-bala. It's interesting, in the Quran the word bala, when it is used 6 times, 3 times it refers to political bala. Interesting. And therefore you find that in the riwayah narrated from the fourth holy imam, where he makes tafsir of what are those sins which bring bala down on me, all are political. Notice, tarku ighathatil malhufin, those who are in a state of lahfa and need, emergency, they got nowhere else to go. You hear their case and story and you are unmoved, or you are moved but you don't take action, that means you are inviting bala. 2, tarku mu'awanatil mazloom, you hear the story of a person who is oppressed by a tyrant. You can do something to stop it and you abandon and you keep silent, bala will come down. 3, tarku al-amr bil-ma'roof, when you see something good that should be done and it is not being done, and you don't do anything to facilitate or to ensure that that good which is wajib, which ought to be done, should be done, you're inviting bala. Amr nahya anil munkar, when you see evil being done and you have the power to either reduce it or to stop it or to eliminate it and you take no action, you're inviting bala. Notice all of these are political, social activities. O Lord, forgive me those sins whereby I, by my silence, by my complacency, by my lack of compassion, by my lack of concern, by my selfishness, it doesn't bother me. What I don't realize is, when I forget my duties towards my brother in faith or my brother in humanity, then that evil power, no evil is successful unless there is no obstacle. The moment there is an obstacle, evil withdraws. The characteristic of evil as described in the Quran is he's a khannas. Min sharril waswas. Waswas is the muwaswis, the one who makes the waswasa. Al khannas, alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudur an-nas. Khannas is one, when attacked, when opposed, they withdraw. Kusababu, they don't want to suffer. They're more concerned about their material pain and material pleasure. So long as they are sure they can inflict and afflict and get away with it, they will proceed. But if they know there is going to be resistance, they will think twice. They don't proceed. The Western literature has got a beautiful example. In Europe, when the evil of Nazi Germany began to spread, so you find that initially there's discrimination against the non-Aryans, and then there is discrimination against the gypsies, let's say, against the Jews, against anyone who doesn't fit with that Nazi ideology. In my neighborhood, I suddenly discovered the security police has come and has arrested my neighbor, and I kept quiet. It came and arrested the baker and the grocer and whoever professional was there, just because of his particular racial or ethnic background. And we kept quiet. It kept coming and coming till finally they came to arrest me, and there was nobody to support me. Evil does not stop unless people take effort to stop it. And therefore, notice the example. In Surah Baqarah chapter 2, ayah number 49, in Surah A'raf, in Surah Dukhan, in all these three cases, the word bala is used to describe the political suppression that Bani Israel was suffering. وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. Do you remember when we rescued and liberated you from Fir'aun? Oh no, it wasn't Fir'aun alone. It was Ali Fir'aun. Fir'aun could not operate in isolation. He needed an empire. He needed a court. He needed courtiers. He needed supporters. Ali Fir'aun. You remember we liberated you from them, Bani Israel? And you know what Fir'aun and Ali Fir'aun used to inflict over you? يَسُّمُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ. They used to continuously torture you and torment you and exploit you for their selfish purpose. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ. They would slaughter your sons, subjugate them. If they resist, eliminate them. وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. But they would allow the women to survive. وَفِي ذَلِكَ بَلَاءٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Azim, in this situation, there was a great bala on you. Political bala. Next slide, please. And therefore, we need to remind ourselves, inshallah, we'll discuss this a little more in detail in another session, but very briefly, the fundamental duty, political, social duty we have is what the Sharia has taught us about Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, which is to ensure that virtue prevails, that vice is eliminated. And of course, not everyone is required to do Amr bil Ma'ruf. There are conditions for it. We'll discuss that in detail. You have to know what is Ma'ruf and Munkar. You have to know the person who is not doing Ma'ruf or is doing Munkar. He knows about it. He's doing it deliberately. He's doing it persistently. He has no excuse. And also, when you take action, you shall not suffer great damage. And then it becomes wajib. And then there is the issue of how to do Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, whether you do it by tongue or by writing or by action or just by feeling disgust in your heart for the evil that is happening. These are different stages or different ways of doing Amr al-Ma'ruf. But the interesting thing is, you notice the riwayat which point to the political consequence of not doing Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. So the Prophet says, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You should do Amr bil Ma'ruf. وَلَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And you must prohibit evil and eliminate evil. Otherwise, أَوْ لَيَعُمَّنَّكُمْ عَذَابُ اللَّهِ. Otherwise, the bala of Allah will descend on you. Because evil will proceed if you don't stop it. Cancer, if you don't arrest it on time, it's going to eat up the whole body. By nature, it's greedy. It wants to take up. What it doesn't realize is that it is destructive for its own selfish reasons. by hogging up the nutrition and the blood supply, it disturbs the functions of other parts of the body just so that it can grow and grow and grow and grow. That's the nature of cancer. A woman starts with a breast cancer. That means their cells multiplying much faster than normally and healthily they should do so. In order to grow faster, they need to eat from others. They'll take up the liver, they'll take up the stomach, they'll take up the brain, they'll take up the bones. And the person is afflicted with diseases in all other normal healthy organs. The result is this whole entity, the body, suffers because there's one little selfish cancer that wants to eat up everything. Evil, when it is not stopped, it'll take up, exploit, it'll subjugate every other social institution to its own benefit, at the end destroying the whole for its own selfish reason. If you don't stop it, the Prophet says, Bala will come down on you. Imam Ali alayhi salam, in that famous wasiyah that he makes on the deathbed between the 19th and the 21st, and tells Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, لا تترك الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. Do not abandon this duty of Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. Otherwise, يُوَلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شِرَارُكُمْ. The evil amongst you will come to rule over you. You never stop them. They will rule over you. And once that happens, oh, we are suffering. Oh, our rights are denied. But you kept silent when something was going on. Now it has reached you. فَلَا يُسْتَجَابُ ثُمَّ تَدْعُونَ فَلَا يُسْتَجَابْ لَكُمْ. Then you make dua, Allah will not answer that prayer. Kwa nini, kwa sababu, you had action to take. You had to take action to remove the cancer by surgery or by radiotherapy or by taking medicine. You didn't do that. You just expected dua to work for you. As a miracle, dua does work, but dua has to be associated with dawa. Next slide, please. After these five different groups of sins, Imam alayhi salam then makes a blanket statement. Allahumma ighfir li kulla dhanbin aznabtu wa kulla khati'atin akhta'tuha. O Lord, I ask for forgiveness from every sin, from every dhanb, and from every khata'. There seems to be a difference between dhanb and khata. I want all my sins to be forgiven. I want all my mistakes to be forgiven. Next slide, please. Next. In the Quran, the word khata has been used in two senses. One is a mistake, which is excusable and forgivable. For example, this dua that we recite, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O Lord, don't punish us for sins that we have committed out of forgetting our duty, if it is an excusable forgetfulness. Oh, we did it by mistake. It wasn't purposeful. Or in Surah Nisa chapter 4, ayah number 92, a crime which has been committed by mistake is mentioned, and the word used to describe that mistake is khata. That to kill a mu'min brother deliberately is haram. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ أَن يَقْتُلَ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا خَطَأً. It is not correct and not allowed for a believer to kill another believer except the exceptional situation happened by mistake. We were together in this hunting expedition. I aimed my gun at the prey. I didn't know the other believer was hiding there. Suddenly he raised his head and accidentally he was shot. If it is khata, then there is a diya to be paid. And there is a way to give sadaqah and ask for forgiveness and for that sin to be forgiven. This is one meaning of khata. Lakini, there is another meaning of khata where it means a deliberate, persistent, habitual sin, not an occasional sin. In the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, and in Surah Haqqa, and in Surah Nuh, the word khata has been used in this sense. Deliberate, persistent, defiant sin. So for example, in Surah Nuh, Allah says, those who heard the message from Nuh but refused to believe, and they continued in their evil ways, when the punishment of God came, which is the flood, mimma khati'atihim ughriqu, because of their sins, because of their khata, they were made to suffer the bala, they were made to drown. And the moment they drowned, though they entered into water, but they entered into fire actually. مِمَّا خَطِيئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا. They entered into fire. They're entering into water and they die. But the moment you die, you leave this physical world, you enter into another world. Because of their evil lifestyle, there is fire. They're in water, but they're in fire. Or in Surah Haqqa, they will be punished in the fire of hell. لَا يَأْكُلُهُ إِلَّا الْخَاطِئُونَ. They shall be forced to eat ghislin. And nobody shall be forced to eat ghislin but those who make khata, deliberate evil performance. Or بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً. Surah Baqarah. وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Whosoever commits a sin and then persists and doesn't stop till it overwhelms him. Now it's habitual. Now even if shaitan doesn't provoke him, now even if the dunya doesn't attract him, he seeks to do the sin. It's habitual. Now he has allowed himself to be enslaved. He's a slave now, but a deliberate slave. He allowed himself to be bonded to the sin. So he shall be punished. Oh Allah, I ask for forgiveness from all sins and from all khata. Those I did by mistake genuinely, and those which I have done deliberately and defiantly. Next slide, please. Imam alayhi salam does not enter into other groups of sins, but the riwayat do mention other sins. So for example, there is a riwayat which says that there are certain sins which if people perform, then Allah stops the rain from coming down. الذنوب التي يمنع تمنع الغيث. So if there is a ruler who's practicing injustice, or if somebody goes and gives false testimony, or somebody who knows the truth is refusing to testify, or somebody on whom zakat is wajib, or any other religious view is wajib and doesn't pay, or the one who deliberately helps the oppressor, or one who has no concern or compassion for the needy. Or yet another group of sins that is mentioned in the riwayat is sins which block our blessings to come and reach us from God. On Laylatul Qadr we pray to God that our destiny is shaped in our favor. Lakini, if there are certain sins which we perform which block the mercy of God from reaching us, it's not God's fault then. When somebody is poor and goes and openly displays and keeps on begging, Allah doesn't like that. Work hard, ask from God, Allah will help. Alright, if you're needy and there's absolutely no way out, take a loan. But to beg and to do it deliberately and to do it habitually, you are blocking Allah from giving you the blessings that He wants to give you. A person who deliberately sleeps during the time of Salatul Isha, or the whole time of Salatul Fajr is gone and is asleep. The time when the rizq descends, the person is asleep. The bottle is closed. How will the water enter of mercy? Or the one who has received blessings, lakini he is ungrateful. He doesn't recognize and appreciate the blessings, even the little blessings Allah has given him. He's discontented, and therefore he's frustrated. He's greedy. Allah denies him extra blessings. Or the one who says, oh, but I haven't received enough. Keeps on complaining about God. Allah hasn't given me enough. Notice how Allah's blessings are available, lakini we can block that extra mercy from reaching us. Conclusion. The list of sins is quite long, of sins which can block us from reaching God. Imam alayhi salam mentions five groups. Lakini, each one of us, and then he makes a blanket statement. Lakini, each one of us therefore is required to look which particular sin is affecting me and therefore to avoid it. Next slide, please. This is a very quick list of sins which may not have been mentioned in the five groups, but which should fall under that blanket category. كل ذنب كل خطيئة أخطأتها. The major sins which have been mentioned in the Quran, in the Hadith, in the Riwayat, I have categorized them into different groups. There are sins pertaining to faith, to have shirk in God, to deny any particular law of God, to have despair and despondent in the mercy of God, to falsely attribute something to God that is not true, to have false security, oh God will forgive me, even though I'm sinful and even though I can do tawbah, I refuse to do that. Al-amnu min makrillah. To deny salah and communication with the Lord, not to pray, it's a major sin. To migrate to another community or country where the environment is such that it restricts you from openly practicing your faith in such a way that now you're forced not to practice your faith. It's haram, a major sin. Social sins which can, sins which are of social nature, which are major sins, kabira, disobedience to parents, music, neglect of relatives, to renege on your promise, to make a promise and to break it, speak a lie, ghibat, to hurt somebody else in his absence. Sins which can be categorized as economic, which are major sins. To have access to the property of the weak, orphans for example, and to misuse it for our own selfish purpose. Aklu mal al-yatimi dhulman. Riba, israf, stealing, gambling, not to pay the wajib zakat. To earn money in a haram way, for example, to run a brothel. To give rishwa or to take rishwa. Rishwa specifically applies to the judiciary cases. To cheat, to take money and to sell a poor quality product, or to give less, or to charge more. Sins which can be categorized as political, which are major sins. To help the oppressor. Not only to help, sometimes even just to like the oppressor. Ar-rukun. La tarkanu ila allazina zalamu. Fatamassakumu an-nar. To flee from the wajib duty in case with the ma'asum imam, the command is given to engage in jihad. To join the opposing forces against the representative of God and fight in the battle against the imam. Sins which are dietary in nature, which are major sins, alcohol or any intoxicant, pork, blood, any animal which has been slaughtered without taking the name of God. Next slide, please. Judiciary, to kill deliberately, to accuse someone of a sex crime. If you don't have four witnesses who have actually seen the sexual crime of adultery or fornication or homosexuality, and to make a false accusation. No, to make an accusation without adequate evidence. Haram, haram. To give false testimony, bribe in the court. Sins of sexual nature. And finally, one very important aspect of sins that we need to remember is, sometimes sins are not major. They're minor. To look at a non-mahram, to shake hands with a non-mahram, it's not zina, it's not the major sin. Lakini, it can become a major sin. Next slide, please. It can become a major sin if we don't think it is as bad as it should be considered. The riwaya uses the word istihqar. Ittaqu al-muhaqqirat. To avoid those sins which you consider as very little. Because these little sins have got two problems. Problem number one, they build up and build up and build up, and suddenly you have a huge cumulative effect. Oh no! Every time you commit the minor sin and you don't give it the importance, it makes it easier for you to fall into the trap of the bigger sin. Beware, don't belittle the small sin. Number two, worse than that, you don't only belittle, you don't consider it as a big sin. You're happy about it. You're not bothered about it. You don't feel the pain of guilt and shame. That's going to make this minor sin into a major sin slowly. Number three, not only you don't feel bad, not only do you feel happy, now you go out in the public and do it so others can even see you. You don't even bother about the public decency and the grace of respect that Allah has given you. You're tearing it away. That is going to convert a minor to a major sin. And number four, especially if you are in a position where you can promote it, you are somehow in a position where others look at you with respect. If that person does it, there's nothing wrong with me doing it. And finally, a minor can become a major if a person persistently practices it. Of course, all these are based on the riwayat. Let me stop here with a quotation from a dua of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. In dua number 16 in the Sahifa, Imam alayhi salam says, "O Lord, there are sins that I've committed in your presence that I feel, I think they are small, but they're not small." And then he explains why they're not small. Even a small sin like looking at a na-mahram deliberately when you know it's haram, obviously with lustful eyes. It's not a major sin. It's a minor sin. Lakin, to shake hands. Deliberately you know, you can't avoid. It's a minor sin. But in fact it's a major sin. Observe how the Imam is addressing God. He says, لَوْ بَكَيْتُ يَا إِلَهِ لَوْ بَكَيْتُ حَتَّى تَسْقُطَ أَشْفَارُ عَيْنَيَّ. O Lord, if I were to cry so intensely and so long that even my eyelids were to tear away because of the tears. And then he says, وَلَوْ انْتَحَبْتُ حَتَّى يَنْقَطِعَ صَوْتِي. And if I were to wail and shout in the darkness of the night, O Lord, I've committed this sin, forgive me, forgive me. I shout till my voice is lost. وَلَوْ قُمْتُ حَتَّى تَتَنَشَّرَ قَدَمَايَ. And if I were to stand in obedience, in humility, in shame, till my legs ache and hurt. وَلَوْ رَكَعْتُ حَتَّى يَنْخَلِعَ صُلْبِي. And if I were to continuously make ruku' in humility in front of you till the back breaks. وَلَوْ سَجَدْتُ حَتَّى تَتَفَقَّأَ حَدَقَتَايَ. And if I were to make sajda continuously till because of the heavy pressure my eyeballs were to fall out. And throughout that period, I don't keep silent, I keep on making your dhikr. And throughout that period, I do this throughout my lifetime. And throughout that period, I don't raise my head up, istihya'an mink, because I'm ashamed of what I've done. لَمَسْتَوْجَبْتُ بِذَٰلِكَ مَحْوَ سَيِّئَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ. I swear to you, throughout this and because of this, I will not deserve to be forgiven even one sin of my all sins. كَنِينِ كَسَبَابُ. I have deliberately disobeyed, period. Even if it's a minor sin. Who gave me the right to use God's gifts, to know God's laws, and then to think I am better than you? And I don't care what you can do about me. And I sinned. And therefore I deserve to be punished. If you punish me, you're not zalim. I deserve. If this dua is recited with understanding, spontaneously, then we will recite in dua Kumail, Allahumma ghfirli kulla dhanbin aznabtu. Even the most minor of all the minor sins. Let's pray to Allah to get the tawfiq. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.